New York, July 1990. In order to illustrate the full dimensions of the bubble in which I lived, and to trace the events leading up to that fateful morning in Gainesville, I need to go back a few months, and then back a few months more. The story would start not in a hotel room in Florida, but inside my dressing room trailer, parked in the Lower East Side of Manhattan, during the making of the movie The Hard Way. Anyone who's ever come across a film crew shooting in the streets of New York, Los Angeles, or any other American city has seen one of these motor mansions and wondered about the thespian holed up inside. You know we're in there, we know you're out there, and to put the interest of candor over public relations, we like it that way. The trailer is one of the many bubbles within the bubble. On this particular early afternoon, I had a visitor, a man I'd never met before. Shambling into my motorhome, Michael Caton Jones was dripping sweat. In his early 30s, his full, ruddy face unshaven, he wore the kind of loose-fitting, mismatched thrift store ensemble that was trendy in the summer of 1990, but that he would have worn regardless. Handshakes, quick, friendly, good to meet yous out of the way, he sprawled sideways across one of the Winnebago's two swivel chairs, threadbare from the asses of 1,000 actors. "Have you got a beer?" had a thick Scots burn, more of a mutter than a request. I like this guy already. Pulling a Molson's from the mini fridge, I considered one myself, but instead grabbed a Diet Pepsi. With several scenes remaining in the day's schedule, alcohol was not an option. It was a blistering July day, the kind that feels especially oppressive in New York City. Mike and I enjoyed the sporadic bursts of air conditioning kicked out by the portable generator and talked movies. Warner Brothers wanted me for a project called Doc Hollywood. And with an eye toward greenlighting production that fall, they had flown a few potential directors out to New York to meet me, each pitching his particular take on the material. Glasgow-born Caton Jones was the latest candidate to pay a visit, and what he wanted to do, he announced, was make a Capra-esque American comedy. Seated across from each other at the fold-down dinette table, I picked through an oily catering truck salad while he sipped his beer. We debated the best films of Frank Capra, the great populist director whose classics Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, and It's a Wonderful Life, had lightened the hearts of Depression-era audiences. The Doc Hollywood script had been on my desk for months. It was funny, but more Green Acres than Frank Capra. Picaresque to a fault, it was a string of amusing anecdotal scenes with no cohesive arc or storyline to bind them. But my reservations about the material paled in comparison to my reservations about taking on another film so soon after The Hard Way. There was a long list of excellent reasons to sit this one out. Take a breather. First of all, The Hard Way had been a trial. With a greater emphasis on pure action and more spectacular stunts than anything I'd ever done, I'd taken a physical beating on this picture. My co-star, James Woods, is a genius, an amazing actor, but to hold your half of the screen with someone of that intensity requires an energy, concentration, and vigilance that wore me out. Add in a tight schedule, a hyperkinetic character, and several reshoots of key scenes due to personnel hirings and firings, and I was left even more ragged than usual. I needed rest. A long rest. Were I to sign on, assuming that their goal of an October start date was plausible, Doc Hollywood would be my fifth film in less than 3 years, during which I also taped the 72 episodes of Family Ties, including the series' emotionally draining last season and finale. A large part of this work had been on location. Film speak for out of town, town in this case being either New York or Los Angeles. Filming on location is not unusual or even entirely unappealing. Many in the business consider the opportunity for travel a perk, a break from the structure of their established routines, the demands of their families, communities, schedules, and responsibilities. Many liken it to war, not in the sense of battle or danger, but in that they are thrown together with a group of people, many of them strangers, who have been charged with a single mission. Get in, get it done on time, under budget, and get out. Oh yeah, and do your best work. The pressure, isolation, and narrow scope of our lives while at movie camp is known to promote prolonged and legendary drinking binges. Time not spent on the set is spent either in a bar or in a coma.